Of my plate. So, Brother Frederick, we're going to pause our study of Acts tonight, and Brother Frederick is going to come and share with us. And so at this time, Brother Frederick, if you would, and y'all.
Thank you all so much. I thank Pastor Tina for this opportunity tonight to teach the Word of God, to teach Bible study. Tonight, I understand, truly understand what he's going through after pastoring some 17, 18 years. He can't get overbearing, and it's a blessing when you have help, you know.
Yes.
When you have help and support, you know, you need that sometime in pastoring, and especially prayer, you know, because when you lose people, you know, you pastor them so long, you know, you become family, you know, you become family, even in the church that I pastored. They finally selected a pastor after 3 years. But, you know, even after that, you know, in the midst of being at Bread of Life and here, you know, I was kind of still their pastor. They would call me for funerals or weddings, all kind of stuff, you know. And now that they have a pastor, so when they call me now, I'm going to direct them to their pastor. Yeah. I'm going to direct them to their pastor and everything. I want to look tonight. I want us to turn. I don't want to touch Acts. I promise you, I don't pass it to you. Pastor, I'm going to be obedient. Pastor Tiemann has done an awesome job with that book, and I really enjoy it, and I don't want to do anything to mess it up. You know, so I just look forward to next week. But I want to deal with a word tonight in 1 John. I want to go to 1 John, the 4th chapter. I want to deal with a word tonight that is so needed in our world today, in our churches, in our world, in our families, in all that we do. In 1 John, I want to look at the 4th chapter. And that word is love. That word is love. It is so important that we love one another. And it's so important that the world see us as families and as people loving one another. And so important for the world to see the church displaying love with all that is going on in our world today. You know, as we look at 1 John, the 4th chapter, 1 John, the 4th chapter, the major theme in my introduction, the major theme of 1 John is fellowship with God. And John wants his readers to have assurance of the indwelling God through their abiding relationship with him. Belief in Christ should be manifested. Should be manifested in the practice of righteousness and love for the brethren, which in turn produces joy and confidence before God. You know, John writes this epistle to encourage the kind of fellowship and to emphasize the importance of holding fast to apostolic doctrine, to the doctrine through the Word of God. You know, 1 John is also writing to refute the destructive teachings of the Gnostics by stressing the reality of the incarnation and the emptiness of profession without practice. These antichrists, that's a spirit of antichrist, and we have that going on in our world today with so much false teaching going on in the world today. And these antichrists fail three tests: love for the brethren and belief that Jesus is the Christ and the incarnate God-man. These are three things that the Antichrist fail to do and fail to teach. And as we look at, you know, me and Evelyn was talking about this before we left home, and it's ironic, you know, as you look at a lot of the pastors that be on TV now are coming out repenting about some of the teachings that they have done. You know, you saw Creflo Dollar did an apology about his teaching on tithing, and you got a lot of these pastors are coming out because of their misteaching and repenting for how they have mistaught their congregations, you know, and they're doing it publicly, you know, and this is why it's so important. And I tell anybody, I used to tell the church that I pastor, you know, and I used to encourage them when I teach you, when I preach to you on Sunday morning, check behind me. I want you to check behind me. Why? Because your soul is on the line. And I'm responsible for teaching you what's right, you know. And I used to always tell them, you know, if I mistaught you or said something in error, you can knock on my door if I'm in my study. You can call me. We can sit and we can have a conversation, or whatever, you know, because I don't want to be teaching you falsely, you know. And God bless, out of 17 years, nobody ever knocked on my door. So, you know, nobody ever knocked on my door, and everything, you know. And a lot of times I would be in studying on Wednesday, Sunday morning, somebody knock on the door. I said, oh, what I don't say it right. It would be something else, you know. Looking at 1 John chapter 4, I want to start with verse 1, and then as we get down to verse 7, it's going to change. It's going to be verse 1 through 6, it's going to be talking about false teaching, and then verses 7 through 21 is going to be talking about love. As we look at this in the NIV, it says, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And listen what John says. Listen what he says. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ is coming, the flesh, is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. Can we agree that it is already in the world? And I want to encourage us tonight. This is why it's so important for us to take our relationship with Christ serious. You know, I use the word resource a lot in my teaching. You know, God has given us every resource we need to identify false teachers, to live a successful Christian life. And you know, he's given us the Holy Spirit. You know, he's given us his word. You know, we can pray and talk to him in prayer and all of those things. And it is so important that we take advantage of all of the resources that God has given us. Because, you know, the devil, Satan, the Antichrist is on his job and will always be on his job. You know, as Dwayne said today in our meeting today, you know, the world is doing what the world does. Am I right? The world is doing what the world does. The world is going to do what the world is going to do. But it is so important for us as the body of Christ to come together and do what we're supposed to do, you know, to be able to recognize the Antichrist and the false prophets, and to be able to and to stand on the word of God, you know. And then it says, this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. And then it said, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them. We have overcome the world. Am I correct? That's something to be excited about. When we look back where God has brought us from and delivered us from, we ought to be so excited and so happy, you know, to serve God and to be a child of God, you know. And we have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. See, God has given us resources. He's given us his Holy Spirit, you know, and they are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize. Recognize is the key word. We got to be able to recognize. Am I right about it? And look what it says. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. You know, so we should be so what word am I looking for? We should be so serious in our relationship with Christ, our walk with Christ, our study of the word and coming out to be taught the word of God in sessions like this and the Holy Spirit leading us, that we should be able to recognize the Antichrist and false teaching and all of these things. And when we use all the resources that God has given us and have all of those resources, we can recognize just through a conversation. Am I right? We can just through a conversation. You can have a conversation with someone and don't even have to know them. And the things that come out of their mouths, you can tell what they spent all of their time doing, listening to, and all of the just by the conversation. You can tell a conversation tells a whole lot. You know, and as we look at this tonight, we've got to be able to recognize, and this is what John is saying here tonight. Why? Because our souls are on the line. Our souls are on the line. You know, and then he shifts. He went from talking about false teaching to love. Why? Because love is so important. It is so vital, you know. And I was studying this on last night. You know, Pastor Tima reminds me of my pastor. At least you gave me a day to get ready. Pastor Hollis used to call me on lunchtime. I need you to teach Bible study tonight. That's the way he talked. So, you know, but the Bible say, oh, you know, we're supposed to always be ready, you know. And but look what it says here. He said, dear friends, watch this right here. Let us love one another. Why? For love comes from God. That's what it says. Love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. You know, Paul told the church at Corinth in 13th chapter, you know, that it's important that you love one another. You know, they had some problems in that church. Am I correct? They had all kind of issues going on, and some of them thought their gifts was better than the other one's gifts, and all kind of things were going on. But Paul was letting them know that don't forget about the main thing. The main ingredient is, which is love. And even in John, a sermon I preached in my father's eulogy some years ago, Jesus said, told the disciples, by this, all people will know that you are my disciples by the way you love one another. You know, and look what he says here. He said, everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. So we got to identify with God in our life. Am I right? How do we identify with him? By number one, by loving one another. By loving one another, by loving people, you know. And number one, by loving, it's a process. And I tell people this all the time. Number one, you got to love God first. Am I right? Then after that, we must love ourselves. And then after that, then we should love one another. You know, and I tell people all of that, and even when I used to do marriage counseling, I used to always tell people, number one, you got to love God first. Then you got to love yourself. Because if you don't love God first and don't love yourself, what you're doing, you're taking baggage into the marriage. You know, you're taking all of that baggage into the marriage. So, and the first thing you need to do is get things in order. The first thing is get you a relationship with God, love yourself, then you can love one another. You know, and it said, whosoever, verse 8, does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love for us. Watch this. He sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. You see the example that he set for us on how much he loves us and how we should love one another? He sent his only begotten son, his only son into the world for us. Watch this. While we were yet sinners. But watch this. I had somebody want to challenge me one time some years ago on this one. He said he sent his son into the world for us while we were yet sinners. Say, well, I wasn't born then. Guess what I told him? You wasn't born then, but you was planned. And you were thought about, and you were on the way. And I said, guess what? And you're here now. Yes. And he sent his only son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And when I read that, and when I look at that, I think about something, Dr. Tima. Something has drastically got to be wrong with people that can't love one another. When we look at this, he sent his son into the world for all of us as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. So that puts all of us in the same boat. Am I correct? That's right. That puts all of us in the same category. So, and that's why love is so important. When we love one another, let me tell you something, it speaks volumes. It speaks volumes. One thing I used to always tell the church that I pastor, you know, it is important that you set a loving atmosphere at church. It is vital. We can go out and do all the witnessing. We can go out and do all the ministry. We can go out and do all the evangelism and invite people. We can do all of these things. But when they come here and don't see a loving atmosphere, don't feel a loving atmosphere, don't have a loving hospitality, guess what? As fast as they come in, they're going to go out. They're going to go out. They're not going to stay. Because guess what they're going to say? First thing they're going to do is they're going to go back out and say, that's a messy church, number one. And then they're going to say, well, I experienced that in the world. Why should I come into church? The hospitality and the love is so vital if you want to keep the people that God is blessing to be able to come to the local church, whether it's Heritage or anyone. I'll never forget the first Sunday I came here. And I see it every Sunday. The love and the hospitality that you all have for people is just awesome. It's just off the charts, off the radar, you know. And that's what God wants. That's what he wants. My children come here, and my daughter, you know, she's in her 20s, and my baby daughter, she's 21, and she loves it. She's talking about joining here. So I'm trying to slow her down enough on Sunday to get her to join on her fiance, you know. And then it said, dear friends, since God so loved us, watch this, verse 11. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. Watch this. Watch how John, he simplifies this. No one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. You see how powerful love is? That's right. It speaks volumes. Let me read that again. No one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. Anybody got any comments before I move on? Because I love to hear from the class. That's the kind of teaching. Any comments before I move on? No comments? Okay.
We'll knock on your door later.
Okay, you'll knock.
Okay. Look at this. Brother, you're doing good.
Thank you. Look at verse 13. Said, this is how we know that we live in him and he in us. Amen. By the way we treat one another. By the way we love. By the way we love God, love ourselves, and love one another. Look what it says. And in verse 13, he has given us his spirit. See, let me tell you something. We got to have the Holy Spirit to be able to do the things that God tells us to do. See, when he tells us to love each other, we can't pick who we want to love. The Bible said we have to love our enemies. The Bible said we have to love those that despitefully use us. We have to love those people. Yes, that's why he's given us his spirit. That's why he's given us all the resources, because he knew that it was going to be hard. He knew, you know, and it's tough pastoring when you have those people that just tries to just constantly interrupt your spirit. You know, my pastor years ago told me, I was crying out to him about some of the people. Oh, they just bother. You know what pastor told me? He said, Frederick, you need some of those. You need those people. He said, those people are going to keep you on your knees. Those people are going to draw you closer to Christ. And those people are going to bless your ministry and going to bless the church. So watch this right here. He's given us his spirit because we have to, we can't, when he say love, we got to love all people. The ones that are not saved. The ones that has addictions. The ones that has problems. Everybody. We got to love. We can't pick. We have to be an example of love just as Christ was. Just as God was. Same type of love. You know, there's no different love. We have to love. And then it said, and we have seen and testified, verse 14, that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Verse 15, if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. See, it's not hard to know if you have the Holy Spirit or not. I had someone ask me, how do I know I have the Holy Spirit? Because through what I was taught about the Holy Spirit, I was mistaught. See, I was taught years ago when you have the Holy Spirit, it was only linked to shouting. That was it. It was only linked to shouting. But once I got into the Word of God and started studying for myself, I looked up some of the words for the Holy Spirit. And when you said it was hard, you know, one of the words for the Holy Spirit is helper, comforter. Those are two other words for the Holy Spirit. God helps us. God comforts us. He knows that it's hard sometimes. It can get hard sometimes. But guess what? He gives us all the resources to help us to be able to carry out our responsibility in the world. You know, Paul told the church at Corinth that they are ambassadors. That's who we are, church. We are ambassadors. And another word for ambassador is representative. We are God's representatives, you know, and everywhere we go. You know, in Matthew, we say we are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. you know, and a city that's set on a hill that cannot be hid. That's who we are, you know, and there's nothing that if we're going to be children of God and if we're going to love the way God says love, that's who we are. And there isn't anything we can do to change that if we're going to be children of God. You know, we have to love. And as it says in 15, if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. Look what 16 said. And so we know and rely on the love of God, on the love God has for us. You know, God has given us everything we need. Am I correct?
Yes.
He's given us everything we need to live here on this earth. Everything. He's given us specific instructions. You know, when you look at the church, you know, the way then, I'm going back up to false teaching, I'm going to get back on this. When you look at the church, God already has it outlined the way the church should function. You know, his son gave a command before he left to be with the Father, and that is the Great Commission. You know, and that's what we're going to be doing on Anniversary Sunday. Let me tell you something. When I heard that speaks volumes. That speaks volumes what is going to take place here at Heritage on the second Sunday in October. But that's love, y'all. Because when the prayer walk, when you go out and if you pray for somebody, you never know what someone is going through. And when you just love on them, a lot of times people just need to be loved on. You know, you never know what a person, even with the hospitality you all show or we show when people come here, you never know what that person is going through when they leave their home. You don't know if they're depressed. You don't know if they've had a tough morning. You don't know if they are sick. You don't know if they're in financial distress. You don't know if they're dealing with mental illness or not. And just, do you know just loving on a person and showing them hospitality and just telling them that you love them? You know, a lot of people don't ever get that from anyone. Just, you know, and all of those things are so vital. You know, when I used to do youth ministry years ago, you know, I used to have some of the youth would be mischievous and act out. And people would label them and say they were bad. Or you know how people would do that. Oh, those children are bad. And try to put labels on them and say they're not going to be anything out of life. And what we did, we loved on those children. And we built trust in them children. And then they start opening up to us about some of the issues that they were going through in life. A lot of them didn't have families. A lot of them didn't even have a hot meal to eat at night. You know, a lot of them was struggling with mental health. A lot of them were struggling with grades in school. A lot of them were struggling with peer pressure. And we loved on those kids, and a lot of those kids went on to graduate high school, went on to go to college. They got families now. I see a lot of them in public, and they thank us for that, you know. And then I'll never forget, we had one young lady. She was kind of on the rough side, and she was one of the ones that determined she was going to interrupt the class every Wednesday night, you know. I taught the teenage class and still loved on them. She had some kids, and before she got married, and now she's married, and she came up to me one Sunday at a store, and she spoke to me, and I loved on her, and she said, "I thank you, Pastor Harris." And I'm like, "You thank me? Thank God." I said, "I was only doing what God tell me to do." She said, "You didn't give up on me, and you didn't judge me. You just loved me, and you just kept teaching me." That's what we got to do to the world. That's what on Anniversary Sunday, we're going to experience all kind of situations out there. All kind, whether if you out there giving out food or you up in Green Acres or the block party or with doing a prayer walk or with us at ASU, we're going to experience all kind of situations. And let me tell you something, that's an opportunity for us to love on people. And let me tell you something, when you love on somebody, you're planting a seed in them. You're planting a seed. Why? Because love is God. And we are setting an example of who we are in our walk with Christ. Look what it says here. It says, God is love. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. You see the comparison there? You say it. Let me read that again. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. In other words, that's what that is saying is, and correct me if I'm wrong, Pastor, that means God knows us and we know God. That means that we have a relationship with God. That's what it means. And guess what? By us having the love of God down in our heart, guess what? That's showing that we have that relationship with God. Am I correct on that, Pastor? That's showing that we have a relationship with God. And then it says, watch this right here in verse 17. This is how love is made complete among us, that we will have confidence. Watch this. That we will have confidence on the day of judgment in this world. We are like Jesus. What is that saying when it says, and look what it says right there. In the day of judgment, look what it says. We will have what? Confidence on the day of judgment. Why can we have confidence, Pastor, on the day of judgment? I won't let you deal with that one.
Just think about it. Because we're like Jesus.
We're like Jesus.
And what God sees in judgment is not us, but Jesus and his righteousness.
Yes. Yes. Because that's it. We're like Jesus. Yes, exactly. That's right. So, you know, out of all that we go through here on this earth, out of all that we go through, I want to encourage you all to just let your light shine. Be that ambassador. Be that representative. Let your light shine. Be the salt of the earth. Love people. Love them. Love on them. You know, love yourselves. We are somebody. We are, Peter said, we are a royal priesthood. A holy nation. That's who we are. That's right. A royal priesthood. We are God's own special people. You know, and know who you are. You're just not no ordinary person. We are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. That's who we are. We are the body of Christ. You know, the body of Christ is bigger than the White House and bigger than the governor house. We are the body of Christ. And it is time now for the body of Christ to take its rightful place in society with what's going on in our world today. It is so vital. You know, all of the stuff that's going on in the body of Christ, the denominations don't want to fellowship with each other, race don't want to fellowship with each other, and all of those things. I am so glad that my grandmother didn't raise us like that. Wherever church was at, that's where we went. It didn't matter about the denomination. It didn't matter about race. It didn't matter about none of that. Wherever church was, she got to the point she couldn't go because of her health. And, you know, my mom was working two jobs trying to take care of her. My mom and dad divorced, you know, and separated when we were young. So my grandmother did most of the raising, and Angie's mom, Dorothy. I tell people all the time, I was blessed to have two moms. But wherever church was up there in Elmo County, we went to church. It wasn't about race. It wasn't about the denomination. Never was. And I thank God for that. You know, I thank God for that. And one thing that me and my late wife did for our children, they was down here in school at one time, and then we packed up and we moved to Millbrook and took them to the Millbrook school system. And the Sunday my daughter came here, we had a conversation, and she said, "Daddy, I'm so glad that you took us to a school where we was in a mixed environment." And you know what she told me? She said, "When I came to Heritage, it reminded me of Stanhope Elmo High School, because you could come in and be yourself. You could come in and relax. You could come in and have a good time. Nobody judging you. Nobody stereotyping. None of that. You can just come in and relax." You know, and then she was talking about the love and the hospitality that you all show. It is important that we recognize who we are. And verse 18, watch this right here. There is no fear in love. But watch this. But perfect love drives out fear. When we love God, and when we know God loves us, when we have that relationship with God, guess what? We know God is going to take care of us. We know God is going to supply our every need. Am I right about it? We know God is going to protect us. We know that even when we have a trial or a tribulation going on in our life, we know God is going to, I tell people all the time, we're going to pray about it and we're going to leave it alone, and God going to rock us to sleep at night and we're going to go to sleep. We don't have that fear. Why? Because we know God loves us. And anytime the devil will try to bring fear on us, and let me tell you when Satan tries that, when we have a trial going on in our lives,
amen,
when we have a tribulation going on in our lives. You know, I experienced that in trials and tribulations in my life. But you know what? I want to encourage somebody tonight. What do you do when that happens? When the Satan attacks your mind, you immediately need to start praying.
Yes.
Immediately. You immediately need to start praying. And you need to speak what Jesus did when he was fasting in the wilderness. 40 days, he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Man don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. That's what we need to say, and that's what we need to pray. And guess what? All of that will go away. Yes. It'll go away. And because the world, again, is doing what the world do. And verse 19 said, we love because he first loved us. Whoever claims, he going to set the record straight here. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or a sister is a liar. Love speaks volumes. That's why Paul was telling that church at Corinth, you can do all the stuff you want to do. You can do everything you want to do. But if you don't have love in your heart for God, for yourself, one another, your life is just a bunch of noise. That's all it is. All you're doing is making a bunch of noise with your life. And then it said, but whosoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God, whom they have not seen. Verse 21, final verse. And he has given us this command. This is a command, y'all. This is a command. This is not an option. If we're going to be followers of Christ, if we're going to be children of God, if we're going to have a blessed church, and if the body of Christ is going to be blessed and our life is going to be blessed, this is a command from God. This is not questionable. This is not optional. Look what it says. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. This is a command from God. Thank you all so much. I thank you all for the opportunity to teach tonight. I hope nobody knock on my door. Thank you all so much. Thank you, Pastor.